Yom Teruah, as any day, really, is an opportunity for us to be better human beings, to get things right, particularly how we use our lips, our mouths. So the title for tonight is simply Lip Service. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, Lord, I pray that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth, Lord, will only be of you. Whatever is not, Lord, of you, please strike it. Whatever I've missed, Lord, may your Holy Spirit bring it forth in Yeshua's name. Amen. If there is no wood, the fire goes out. If nobody gossips, contention stops. That's from the Complete Jewish Bible, Proverbs 26:20. The New American Standard Bible quotes it as, "For a lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisper, contention quiets down." It's talking about Lashon Hara. It's talking about your lips, the things that come out of your heart and out of your mind come through our lips. And it is the most difficult thing for humanity to control. The tongue is a powerful weapon, and most of us fail. At one time or another, we fail. Some fail more, some fail less, but it's a difficult thing. And part of that is because we use our own standards to judge what is appropriate versus what God says. Even especially when we don't like what the Word of God says, right? So, Yom Teruah, the day of blowing, right? It's a time of celebration and it's a time of joy, but it's also a time for us to start looking at ourselves. If you haven't been looking at yourselves all year, and you should have been, but by chance you missed something and you waited since last Yom Teruah to look at yourself, it's not in Yom Kippur, that's too late, and we have the days of awe, but we're supposed to be looking at ourselves. What is it that we've failed at? What is it that we need to turn the corner on? And that's not just about how we relate to the Messiah, but it's equally important how we relate to one another. You can't say you have a good relationship with God if you don't have a good relationship with your fellow man. And there's another way of looking at lip service. Lip service has been used different ways. Lip service, you can say, when I don't really mean anything, I give lip service to it. I can say anything, but it doesn't mean anything. That's lip service. I'm holier than thou, but I'm a drug addict. That would be lip service to the Word of God. It would be lip service that we'd be lying. That lip service can be just flat out lying. Lying to yourself, lying to God, lying to others. I and others, many times, I'm sure, if we really looked at it, we've preached about how we should treat the Messiah and how we treat one another, and as how we treat each other is how we treat the Messiah. So if you think you're in love with Yeshua, but you're a miserable creature, you're not in love with Yeshua. You're a hater of God because you're a hater of His creation. When we can't resolve, when we can't be kind, we are failing. We don't look like Messiah. No matter what we might rationalize in our own minds, because that's the problem, right? We rationalize what is good behavior and what is not so good behavior. That we can rationalize how we treat others or even how we treat God. What we may say or gossip about or share with others, we rationalize it's okay. Different reasons for different people. It's the truth. The truth doesn't mean you have the right to talk about other people. But we find ourselves rationalizing. We don't even know we're doing it. It's not always a matter of conscious sin, but an unconscious sin. Something we fall into. It's easy. It can be easy. It happens to all of us. That's why we have to be on guard for it. That we aren't talking about other people's business, particularly when it's not our business. We love talking about other people's business, but we don't like it when people talk about our business. Right? It's that old try the shoe on the other foot, right? Try their shoe on your foot, or vice versa. I don't think you can try their foot on your shoe. That would be problematic. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but you are a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and one judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? James chapter 4. See, we get confused about what our roles are. God's the judge, we're not. He's the ultimate judge. Whatever law, what portion of Torah you might be applying to somebody else, if you're going to apply it and judge him for it, be expected you're going to get double. Because that's how God works. We're supposed to help one another. If somebody's in a sin, we go to them, right? And we help them out of that sin. Gently, kindly, lovingly. I would imagine that most of us, all of us, at some point, have been conditioned to go on the defensive when we feel attacked or perceive that maybe even others are being persecuted, especially verbally, that we, our natural defense or a learned defense is that we go on the offensive, you know, which is defensive, that we get even harder about it, not in a good way. That we get offended for others. It's not a good thing. And so that means if we've been conditioned for it because of how we grew up, then we have to be on alert for those things that don't glorify God. As brothers and sisters, we're called to protect one another, reason with one another, not to rip one another apart, particularly verbally, and especially not with others. The word gives us a course on how we can address people, and it's not a one size kind of fits all, because circumstances may change how you would go about it. Matthew 18 would be one of the primary ways, but that is a guide. It depends what's going on to determine where Matthew 18 it fits. One of the challenges that we have to grow into, that we strive for and never quite get there, is that God's standard of love is a lofty one. It's a really extremely high standard. And that standard goes against the flesh. The flesh wants to defend itself. The flesh wants the reason why I'm not at fault. The flesh wants to convince us that we know what's going on in somebody else's life, or somebody else's situation, or somebody else's circumstance. And we have to be very careful when it's us, how we are understanding the Word of God, because the adversary distorts the Word of God, does he not? The enemy's always looking to twist the Word of God. Always looking to twist it so that we can rationalize why we do or don't do something. And he distorts it so that we end up trying to use the Word of God against one another as the devil tries to use the Word against us. Instead of trying to comply with what God's standard is, which is unity and forgiveness, we end up still sometimes not because we rationalize that we're right. God is right all the time. We, not so much. It's why there it's important to have discernment. And discernment comes not only through the Word of God, not only through the Spirit of God, but those things work through other people. Eldership, other rabbis. That even for myself, or Rabbi Eduardo, or Elder Dan, or Elder Lee, that I often, and I've really stepped this up in my own personal walk with life, stepped up my holding myself accountable to the eldership of the congregation, and indeed other rabbis outside. As the enemy tries to get busier, I try to find more counsel, not just relying on my own personal perspective that wants to tell me that I'm right and I got it all. It does take great humility to find counsel in others that we trust, to either affirm or to have a check in the process. From Matthew chapter 18, then Peter came to him and said, Master, how often shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Yeshua said to him, No, not up to 7 times. I tell you, but 70 times 7. Of course, that comes out to 490, but I've preached on this before. That's really not the point, not the specific of the number, but the attitude of the heart attitude. And when we forgive, we forget. Right? We let that affront against us go. If you keep bringing it up, then you haven't forgiven it. And forgiving has everything to do with letting it go to be able to move on. You don't have to rehash the same sin. If you're dealing with the same sins with somebody, then there hasn't been any forgiveness, and there also hasn't been any repentance. Even though somebody may say, "Oh, I've forgiven you," but the actions don't state that there has to be rehashed. Verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with the slaves. The point I have shared many times is that forgiveness, indeed restoration, should not have limits, especially ones we set. You ever set limits? You know, I've had enough. And again, this is a bit of an overlap of a message I probably gave about a month or so ago, a little bit. You know, it goes again with rationalization. In my mind, I've decided that I've forgiven enough. Well, we're not in charge of deciding who forgives enough. God's in charge. That can be uncomfortable. Whenever we give ultimatums, I've had enough, I'm not doing that anymore, I can't take anymore, that is not God. It doesn't lend itself to forgiveness or kindness or even recognizing that we may be wrong in the attitude about it. And again, forgiveness has to do with letting it go. If you say you forgive somebody and it still bothers you what they said or did, then you didn't forgive them. Restoration should not have limits. Again, especially ones that we set in our hearts, our own minds. Through the Holy Spirit, there's always the opportunity for restoration. Amen? No? Yes? I mean, there should be some affirmation here that's the case. If it's not, then you may be one of the ones that sets the limits. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught doing something wrong, you who are directed by the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, looking closely at yourself so that you're not tempted also. Bearing one another's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the Torah of the Messiah. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he is fooling himself. From Galatians chapter 6. You take the high road, I'll take the low road, and I'll get to Scotland before ye. In my mind, there's only one road, and it's Yeshua's road. I'm going to take the high road, and I'm going to be the bigger person, and I'm going to forgive. You can't be bigger than Yeshua. When we're working, the reason this is important and it keeps coming up is because in the imminent return of the Messiah, the body of Messiah has to be in unity. It's not down low on the list, it's high on the list of unity in the body of Messiah. Yom Teruah, the day of blowing, is clearly a day, it's a time to reflect on all our actions, which I opened the service with, and particularly our lips, our tongues, as I've already said, and say again, that they become weapons of destruction very easily. I forgive you, but I will never talk to you again. Doesn't sound right, does it? We're good, but I'm never going to talk to you again. I'm never going to have a relationship with you again. Because I have not worked out to whatever I need to work out or to my satisfaction or their satisfaction, and it's a deal breaker. In the kingdom of God, the only deal breaker is renouncing Yeshua. Your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor working deceit. Psalm 52. It's imperative that we control our tongues, and that starts with our hearts. And for me, one of the struggles is it's not always what you say, it's how you say it. Because lots of times, myself may be at the top of the list, I'm not always aware of how I say something. You may not be aware. It sounds, the words you say are okay, but the inflection or the attitude you give it in isn't. And the person saying it may not even notice. That, you know, it's a crime of guilt where, you know, you wonder why somebody gets mad at you and you go, I don't know why they're mad at me. We all have things to work on. And of course, that means we should listen closely to what we say and how we say it. And that takes attention. That takes slowing things down sometimes to hear how we say things. And maybe it isn't even how we say it, but how other people receive it. That's even more challenging, isn't it? Because we can't control how people receive things. It says in Proverbs 26, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself out of trouble. That's a pretty small scripture with a pretty big meaning. I'm pretty sure that most of the trouble I've been in my life is because my tongue doesn't stay out of trouble. Reminds me of Daffy Duck. What did I say? What did I say? Of course, all of us struggle with that standard, with that way. It's probably one of the broader challenges within the body of Messiah. So lip service can refer to two meanings. One, dissing people, and two, shallow thoughts. In dissing people, we often will say whatever we think that person wants to hear. Who hasn't done that? Oh, I don't want to get into this with this person. I'm going to tell them what I think they want to hear. That usually doesn't go well. Or we share just what we want in hopes that they will accept it and we can move on. Oh, I hope this ends soon. Not the message, just the thought. With no interest of our hearts being genuinely sincere in restoring a wrong. Right? It's a superficial thing. He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart, he does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. Psalm 15. It's hard to walk with integrity. It's hard to walk in righteousness. If it was easy, the devil would do it. And that's what we're rationalizing comes in, that we somehow say to ourselves, this is the best I can do and it's good enough, and so I no longer am going to work on my life or how I deal with people. It's a tall order. It's a godly tall order, one that we do have to work hard. We have to be aware. It takes a great deal of heart for Yeshua to walk it out. He loves us so much. He walked the line. To make amends when we are wrong and to receive amends when they are offered. Without self-righteousness skewing it. Well, it's about time you came around to my thinking. Well, that's better. Lip service thwarts our ability to restore feelings and relationships. If our lips are speaking the truth, they'll have value. They'll have meaning. They'll have depth. You know, we can't get credit for walking with Yeshua when our lips and our actions speak otherwise. If we're not always working on looking like Yeshua, if we're not increasing that journey with him, then we really can't take credit for walking with him. If our yes isn't yes and our no isn't no, then we're not walking with the Messiah. You can't make promises and break them all the time. You can't say you've forgiven and haven't forgotten. You can't keep bringing up the past. Right? If the past crippled a relationship and you keep bringing up the past, what do you think the relationship's going to be? Crippled. If Yeshua based our ultimate eternal life based on our past, we don't get in. None of us get in. In heaven, there are no cliques. If you make it to heaven, if you make it to the resurrection, the eternal life, you ain't going to get to choose your friends. We're all going to be friends. Either all together or you're none of you together. You can't go up to heaven and say, oh, I see so-and-so, and I'm not sitting near him. If we claim to have fellowship with him while we are walking in the darkness, we are lying and not living out the truth. But if we are walking in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of his son Yeshua purifies us from all sin. If we claim not to have sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1, 6 through 8. That's pretty heady. We can't say that we have fellowship with him if we're still walking in the darkness in some aspect of how we relate to one another. If we're walking in the light, then we'll be able to find a way to fellowship with one another, forgive each other. Doesn't mean there can't be discussions that need to be had. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes, love covers a multitude of sins. Sometimes that isn't quite good enough because you have to rectify something. But it doesn't mean there can't be conversation. But if all parties are open to clearing the air, because we want to walk like Messiah, then it'll happen. But it has to be on God's terms, not our own personal likes or dislikes. I'm going to pick and choose what I think God is saying about all the word and fact. Not all situations are the same. As I said, this is a difficult walk. And maybe it's the most difficult between brothers and sisters trying to walk with one another. That's why I think congregational life can be a challenge, because we're trying to walk out a walk that glorifies Yeshua. And as humans, we don't get it right all the time. And in the flesh, we don't want to stay engaged with people or ideas that go against our grain. Let me run and hide. It's difficult to love one another and to forgive one another in all the trials that we face in relationships. It says in James chapter 1, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That fits for a lot of things. It also fits in about successful relationships. We're all facing trials. Is not this world we live in at this moment a trial? Can it get any more trialing? The answer, sadly, is yes, it's going to get worse. But if we can't handle what we got now, what is the hope for us and what's coming? There's going to be trial in everything we do, in the relationships we have, in our walk with the Messiah, the things that we're called to, our ministries, whatever. There's going to be challenges in all of that, whether it's at work, or here, there's going to be these trials. Sometimes nothing seems to come easy. But the things that come the hardest and that we're successful in are the most powerful things, because they defeat the enemy. Lip service in the negative sense is lying to ourselves, lying to others, and most of all, it's lying to God. We cannot say we love the Lord when we do not live by His standards. And what I mean by that is that we're striving for His standards. We're all never going to reach Yeshua's level, not in this life. I don't know what the life to come is and how much better we're going to be. I'm pretty sure there's not going to be any sin, but I don't know. We're not gods. We're not going to be Yeshua. I don't know. I don't want anyone to speculate. If I get in, I'll work it out later. Somebody will tell me up there, right? Hey, dude, can't do that anymore. Okay, but I'm in. Yeah, well. I don't think you can get kicked out once you're in. If you're in heaven, are there any oops moments? Oops. You've already talked about it with the Lord. So how many mulligans do you get in heaven? All right, I need to start talking to you then more. I'm probably going to need some. I think it's, for me, it's reassuring that even in these dramatic and important things that we can find levity in it, right? Because we just don't know. We can be assured of many things, but we don't know how it all works. I'm sure the Holy Spirit started running out. Quit cutting. Quit fooling around down there. Well, I think he's saying it to you, not to me. So I think I'm okay. Evil tongue, which is Lashon Hara in Hebrew, is equally despicable, right? When we're talking about others to others, because that's pretty much what it is, the majority of evil tongue, Lashon Hara, is when we're talking to other people about other people. That's gossip. Doesn't matter if it's true. Most of the time it's not. Because most gossip is given, you got it second, third, or fourth hand. And even if you got the gossip first hand, how do you know they gave it to you right? And then you pass on something that you think sounds juicy? Lip service is Lashon Hara. Truth does not make it right to talk about others to others. Just because something might be true doesn't give you a right to talk to somebody else about it. If you have the problem with that person or a concern, then you go to that person. And equally, we don't listen to somebody gossiping, listen to the whole thing and say, oh, you shouldn't have told me. That is being a gossip. If you're listening, you're a gossip. But I didn't say anything. You listened. And that's going to jade you. Yeah, it may jade you about something you heard about somebody else, and it may not be true, maybe half true, maybe even be true, but it's not in your business. We should be saying to that person, if it's about you, you should talk to that person directly and don't listen to them. You can't evaluate the story and then tell them what you think you should do. That's not how it works. You know, we have a kingdom obligation to restore the relationships and not to tear them down. No matter what the truth may be. Of course, the one deal breaker is someone, as I said, is denouncing Yeshua as Lord and Savior. That's a deal breaker for a relationship. Isaac gives us no avenue for relationship. When somebody's denouncing and rejecting Yeshua, there's no arrangement. There's no way we can have a relationship with them. You can't have a close relationship with somebody that doesn't believe in the Messiah. And some of us run into family issues with that. I do. It's cost me my relationship with many of my family. There's a cost. Treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to an outward form of godliness but denying its power. Avoid these people. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Avoid these people. We have people that still try to have relationships with people that have denounced Yeshua. What benefit could you possibly get from that relationship? You know, I pray often, and I pray, you know, really even as I speak, that none of us would allow the adversary to divide us, and that we will allow the Holy Spirit to lead us back into relationships with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Only the Holy Spirit, really, with everything I've said, it's only the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to break the bonds that the devil tries to hold us against in relationships. It is the Holy Spirit that allows for wounds to heal, the wounds that bind us. Wounds that keep us, hold us back from giving or getting forgiveness. Forgiveness should be our mantra, right? It should be on our lips. That leads to honest and loving relationships today, beginning today. If there's any relationships out there that, and of course it takes two people for relationships, right? And we're all aware of that. Not all relationships work because it takes two to submit under the authority of the Holy Spirit to have the relationship. And indeed, some relationships are more complicated than others. And sometimes restoring relationships has to do with more than one-on-one. There may be several people involved in a broken relationship due to actions that others have taken or we have taken. Sometimes clarity for restoration comes more. It's nice that it could be one-on-one, but all the time this situation doesn't dictate that there may be more people involved for restoration. Really about clarity, not about rehashing things. Just about clarity when relationships that engage more than one person can be challenging, that just everybody, there can be clarity to it. That may be not as often as others. We blow the shofar today, tonight, and tomorrow to celebrate Yeshua's victory, hopefully in each of our hearts, and the victories that he desires for us in our own hearts, in our own person, and in our communities. And not just this community, but the body of Messiah. Because we're part of a larger community. And I pray that the Holy Spirit, wherever it needs to happen, even in things that haven't happened yet, right? Because this message isn't about just things that have happened. It's about the potential for things that might happen, right? I want to be clear. This message isn't about certain things. This is about a message of what God expects all the time. Past, present, future. Because that's important. It's not about a moment. It's about eternity and the relationships in eternity. Amen.